Over the last decade, Walmart has become the richest company in the world. Last year alone, Walmart sold nearly $250 billion worth of goods. That's more than Target, Sears, JCPenney, Safeway, and Kroger combined. But reporter Charles Fishman says that success for Walmart has sometimes come at the expense of the very companies that might have hoped to grow rich with Walmart, the people who supply the merchandise that Walmart sells all over the world at unbeatably low prices. His article, The Walmart You Don't Know, is the cover story in this month's Fast Company magazine. Mr. Fishman joins us from the studios of member station WUNC in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Mr. Fishman, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Good morning.
You use a phrase called devastating success. That's how you describe the success some companies have had working with Walmart.
Right. The best news is Walmart's going to buy your product, and the worst news is Walmart's going to buy your product because you instantly need to supply enormous quantities. Walmart becomes your most important customer, which often leads companies into a position where they can't pay attention to their existing customers. And over time, Walmart insists that the prices you charge it go down. So if you supply something routine like umbrellas or toothbrushes or underarm deodorant, mm-hmm. Walmart literally has a policy that year over year, the prices that you charge them and that they then charge their customers go down 5% a year, no matter what's happening to your costs. And Walmart constantly holds out the threat that it will simply knock your product off in China or Indonesia or India. We'll just get somebody to make those umbrellas over there if you can't meet our price.
Hmm. Now, you use a gallon jar of pickles to try and make us understand this story in concrete terms.
Yeah. At one point in the late 90s, Walmart became fascinated with the gallon jar of Vlasic pickles that Vlasic actually made in small quantities as a kind of novelty item. Mm-hmm. And Walmart decided to sell it big, and it was an enormous success. Mm-hmm. Whole pallets of gallon jars of pickles were going out the door because Walmart insisted on selling the gallon for $2.97. That's cheaper than you can buy a quart of pickles. A quart of pickles at most grocery stores costs a dollar more than that. So it's a year's worth of pickles for less than $3. And Vlasic, which it was doing 30% of its business with Walmart, said, sure, let's try this and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a classic example of working with Walmart. Walmart fell so in love with the gallon jar of pickles that it would not let Vlasic time limit the special price on it, nor would it let Vlasic take the price up at all. The problem with the $2.97 gallon jar of pickles is this. Prices in a market economy are supposed to mean something. The $2.97 gallon of pickles is supposed to be the result of the supply of cucumbers and the demand for pickles. There was no huge supply of pickles that required lowering the price to clear the cucumbers. There was no price war in the pickle market as people desperately tried to get share of pickles. Instead, there was the most powerful retailer in the world saying, we will sell the gallon jar for $2.97. So when people say, what's wrong with that? That's not market economics. That's mm-hmm. muscle. That's Walmart distorting the market for pickles, holding a pickle company hostage to the rest of its business, not Walmart allowing market forces to do their work.
What's Vlasic's economic state these days?
It's been bankrupt twice since 2000, and it's sort of trying to recover. You can't buy a gallon jar of pickles for $2.97 from them at Walmart, but you can buy it from Mount Olive.
And typically, as you've been able to determine it, Mr. Fishman, when Walmart comes to a supplier and says, look, you've got to get your price down 5% below what it is last year, how does a company do that?
In the beginning, a company does that by becoming more efficient, and that's very powerful and very beneficial for everybody. Their warehouse operations get better. If you go to Walmart now, you'll notice there's not a single container of deodorant sold at Walmart that has a cardboard box around it anymore. Walmart said to people, the box doesn't add anything to the deodorant experience. The deodorant containers are strong enough. Save a penny for you and a penny for us and all those trees and get rid of the box. And that's fine. But what happens is that the request for decreased costs never goes away. And ultimately companies, one of the companies we talk about in the story, the Master Lock company that makes padlocks, companies have to send their labor overseas, their manufacturing overseas, because the only way to continue to cut costs is to take your hourly wages down from $15 an hour to $2 an hour or 25 cents an hour. And so the relentless pressure goes well beyond efficiency eventually and ends up forcing companies to do business in ways that they probably wouldn't do business if there weren't that relentless cost-cutting pressure.
But what about the argument, though, Mr. Fishman, that if Walmart didn't do that, someone would?
These trends are part of global economic trends. What we wanted to do was say, here's the not the biggest retailer in the country or the biggest retailer in the world, but the biggest company in the world, and perhaps the biggest company in the history of the world. And what they do to this process is magnify it and accelerate it in dramatic ways. So Walmart's behavior is very important. Would other people be doing this? Sure, there's plenty of history in the economy of America in the last 100 years of retailers putting pressure on suppliers. Walmart is a case unto itself.
Tell us the way you've been able to read it, Mr. Fishman, about the relationship, now commercial relationship, between Levi Strauss and Walmart. There was a time when Levi's were not the kind of thing you would think you would ever seen sold in a Walmart because they were high-end jeans.
Right. And Levi Strauss is a company that has been in trouble for the last 6 or 7 years, if not for the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. Their sales have declined steadily, and they decided to boost their sales by going into Walmart. So in order to do business with Walmart, the first thing Levi Strauss had to do was design a whole new line of clothing called the Signature Line that was cheap enough to be sold at Walmart. And when you go touch those jeans, when you run your fingers over them at Walmart, they are not the Levi Strauss jeans that we have come to expect.
Mr. Fishman, what about the idea, though, that in keeping watch on prices, Walmart is only looking out for the consumer?
No less a figure in the American economy than Warren Buffett has said that Walmart saves American consumers between $80 and $100 billion a year. And it is nice to see a company with power, quote unquote, on the side of consumers. The problem is that Walmart is so private that its operations go largely unexamined at all. And it is now an enormously powerful economic and political force that needs to be examined. And the problem is that if the only thing you're looking at is the price, what you don't see is how this process can eventually hollow companies out. Levi Strauss is a good example. Maybe $35 jeans are untenable, but as of December 31st of this year, Levi Strauss will not only no longer make any jeans in America, it will no longer make any jeans at all. It will only buy jeans that it contracts from foreign factories and imports. So it has been reduced to being a design and marketing and sales company. But at one point, Levi Strauss had almost 100 U.S. factories making high-quality denim and high-quality jeans. And if you buy a $15 pair of jeans, will they last 15 years the way a pair of $35 Levi Strauss jeans used to last? That's the question.
In the end, though, I mean, companies can choose not to do business with Walmart, right?
In the end, companies can choose not to do business with Walmart, and I think one of the points we tried to make in the story, which is really important, is that the low prices aren't magic. Here's what they come from. Here's one of the ways that Walmart manages to squeeze out the last few pennies. If you're going to shop at Walmart, you need to understand what that means.
Mr. Fishman, thanks very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Charles Fishman, senior writer at Fast Company magazine, speaking with us from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.